And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD devotional diamond of the day. You'll love this. It's called Never Ending Return. Never Ending Return. Plus our next one, Quiet. Quiet, 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 quiet. We're also going to talk to the professor of retirement, our very own Marty Schneider. He'll join us live. And then today's Facebook post, The Christian Connecting Point to the Enemy.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at. During the show, lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. Can I tell you something? Now, you guys have heard me talk about this before. I got two grandchildren, one on the way coming in November. So I've got three grandchildren, two that are here, one that is in process. And my wonderful child and wonderful daughter-in-law have yet left town again with the baby. I'm not going to say that's irritating me, but guess what happens every time they leave town with the baby? We, the grandparents, get to babysit the dog again. In my house, it is like a doggy hotel. That, my friends, that is true life insanity when you live in an apartment and you have multiple dogs and there's no room. And they take up your bed. It's crazy. Oh, by the way, there's so much more to talk about. And we're asking you, what do you think? Do you have dogs that take up your bed? I'm just curious because mine do. They seem to like the bed. What do you think? Give us a call, 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's justified radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We're coming back.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over two decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
This is SRN News.
The greeting card industry might look forward to Mother's Day even more than our moms do.
This is Real Family Life with marriage and family expert Dennis Rainey for Thursday, May 11th.
I used to work at a greeting card store, and Mother's Day was the busiest time of the year. A lot more men came in the store, and they usually needed help picking out cards for their mothers.
Yes, we men have been flocking to the store this week looking for that perfect Mother's Day card. It's not exactly the way Anna Jarvis envisioned the holiday. She came up with the idea of Mother's Day and convinced the U.S. government to officially recognize it. But she wasn't a big fan of the greeting card industry. Anna feared Mother's Day was becoming too commercialized. She thought that greeting cards were for people who were too lazy to write letters. She figured children were buying their mother's chocolate candy just so they could eat it themselves. Anna became so disgusted that she spent her latter years trying to have the celebration abolished. One final thought. I don't think there's anything wrong with buying your mom a card or candy for Mother's Day this year. But honor needs to go deeper than that. Why don't you give your mom a tribute, a written tribute of how she has sacrificed her life for yours? It may be the most important Mother's Day gift you ever give your mom. I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real Family Life.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
There's so much tension, so much pain.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Couple things to run by if you don't mind. Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. here on KPRZ. Like I said, I had a chance to talk to Nate Curtis. He's a great guy, and we're going to be doing some cool co-projects together, which I think is, I love stuff like that. I should give you, we didn't really talk much about the Pastor's Masters, did we? We didn't do a lot of info there. First, let me tell you, don't forget about school tuitions, half-price tuitions on KPRZ. You go to kprz.com. There's a tuitions tab. You click on that. You purchase the tuitions at half price. That way you get your child to have a private Christian education if you don't want them going through the public school system, a decision every individual parent or family should make. I mean, they should make that. The government certainly shouldn't make decisions like that for you. And that's available to you. Let me give you a quick, brief synopsis of the Pastor's Masters golf tournament. It had rained a little bit Friday, a little bit Saturday, a little bit Sunday. It was clear on Monday, and then it rained Tuesday. Not too shabby, right? Pretty
Remember
good.
I guaranteed it wasn't going to rain.
Yeah, that was a pretty good deal. It was a beautiful day. Everybody had a wonderful time. It was really kind of a simple, fellowship outing, keeping it easy, keeping it simple. Everybody enjoyed themselves. We had a good time fellowship. It was just one of those. It went great, and there was nothing overly complex. There was one scene I'll tell you about that's not on the record. And that was Ohio State Ron and I had to deliver a individual box lunch to one of the four. There's groups of four. You know, there's a bunch of groups of four. And so one of them didn't get the right lunch. And so we drove that out. We took the first cart that was available. We drove out. We got it to them in an absolute hurry. So there's no problems. But on the ride home, Ohio State Ron and Michigan Dave are in the cart together, and it was at that moment, I think, that the Holy Spirit said, let's make this like Laurel and Hardy. And as we are going down the road and Ron is driving, unfortunately, we veered off the pathways and used the streets. The problem with using a golf cart in the streets is a golf cart is not a car, and then there were these cars piling up behind us. And then we thought, you know, said to Ron, maybe it's a good idea to pull over to the side so we don't get run over. And so we pull over and these cars go by and then we take a left. And as soon as we take a left, we think we're supposed to go right. But then we realize, no, actually, we're supposed to go left again. And it was like, and cars like around us. And safe to say that if you had videotaped this, we would have gotten multiple tickets for multiple things, but I deny it all, and it's not anywhere to be recorded except with the Federal Communications Commission and those people because they just told it on air. Good job driving, Ron. Ron kept us safe, and we pulled over behind a tree one time, and these people were hitting, and Ron goes, oh, it'll never come out that far. I'm not kidding you. This is actually what happened. It'll never come out that far. And probably about 6 or 7 seconds later, we could hear the ball hitting the grass about 15 feet behind us. It was like, uh-oh. So we just stayed behind the tree. Ron thought it was funny because I was more exposed than he was. That was a little bit of the fun. You know, that's the kind of fun we have here at the David Spoon Experience / KPRZ / Somebody Pray For Us. All right, let's get into our big teach for the day, Never Ending Return. Do we have a sound for that? I don't know. Oh, there. Sounds like a jackpot to me. Okay.
It's never ending.
Never ending. There you go. It keeps going throughout the entire DDD. Don't do that. Luke chapter 12, verse 33 through 34. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide yourself with purses that will never wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know that we just came off of our appeal with Cross International, who did a fantastic job. Both Tom and Bob did an excellent job. And here's something I want to tell you just straight from this scripture. The scripture says, sell your possessions. Does that mean that the Lord intends you to be homeless? No, it doesn't. In fact, what it really has to do with is you not having extra things in your possession that you have no use for. That doesn't mean you get rid of a refrigerator that keeps your food. You know what it means? It means if you do have a shed and you've got things out there that are completely useless, you shouldn't keep those possessions that have no use whatsoever, that do nothing but take up storage. Get rid of that stuff. And then the scripture says, give to the poor. You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say give to the lazy. Uh-oh. Therein lies a big difference in how Christian giving goes and how the government operates. It's give to the poor, not to the lazy. You give to those who have less than you because it's beyond them to gain. And this, so that's where you step in. Not for people that go, man, I don't feel like getting up today. The scripture also said, provide for yourself with purses that will not wear out. Provide for yourself means don't be dependent on others by doing nothing, by becoming dependent, and then by becoming enslaved. So you got three things. Sell your possessions. Get rid of the junk that's not any, has no use in your life. Those boxes that you carry around that have all that stuff in them that you've carried around for 20 years that you've never even looked at. That's kind of the idea. Give to the poor, not the lazy, but those that cannot help themselves, that are beyond that help mode. And provide yourself in the sense of not being dependent on others and becoming enslaved to others. And then it says, provide for yourself with purses. And a purse is a treasure pouch that doesn't have any break in it, no holes in it. Did you ever make money and feel like the money that you've made has holes in it and it seems to disappear before you can ever see anything and it goes out before it goes in and you don't know what's going on? That's putting money in a bag that has holes in it. Instead, give to the poor and put yourself in a position to have inexhaustible treasure in heaven. Inexhaustible treasure means it never stops. That jackpot noise was on purpose because it's never ending. It's in a place where your return will have no stealing, no decay, and no loss. And it keeps going. And then the scripture closes out and says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The location of our treasure is the location of the center of our being. What we treasure as important is what drives us from within, which is why we're supposed to lay up treasures in heaven, because that's supposed to drive us from within. Now take those passages, the never-ending return, that Luke chapter 12, verse 33 and 34, and recognize that when Cross International does a campaign like they did, when it says give to the poor, those kids that can't feed themselves, those are those poor. That's them. They're in a situation that they did not create, and it is not that they do not want to get out of it. They are stuck. And you can contribute $39. And that will feed a child for a year and give them a chance to get unstuck. And will you solve all of it? No. The poor you will always have with you. But you can help. And that's what you're supposed to do. So we encourage you. You go to KPRZ.com and give on the website. Or you call them at Cross. It's super easy. 866-843-9500. 866-843-9500. And give to the poor, just exactly what Jesus was talking about. Those that not are lazy, but are it's beyond them. And a five-year-old who has no food and has no parent that can help them, that child, it's beyond them. That's the poor. That's who you take care of. That's who we're supposed to do that for. Not the lazy, but those unable. 866-843-9500. You know what? I don't care if it's $5. Do it. It'll be good because you'll be doing what the Lord wants you to do. All right, we're going to take a short break and then come back for our next DDD called Quiet. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 Cape Rays, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
It's in the presence of your love.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 Cape Rays, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
When God gives us a new beginning, we find a joy that's never ending.
Our daily bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Dave Brannan. An elderly woman named Violet sat on her bed in a Jamaican infirmary and smiled as some teenagers stopped to visit with her. The hot, sticky midday air came into her little group home unabated, but she didn't complain. Instead, she began racking her mind for a song to sing. Then a huge smile appeared, and she sang, "I'm running, skipping, jumping, praising the Lord." As she sang, she swung her arms back and forth as if she were running. Tears came to those around her, for Violet had no legs. She was singing because she said, "Jesus loves me, and in heaven I will have legs to run with." Violet's joy and hopeful anticipation of heaven give new vibrancy to Paul's words in Philippians 1, when he referred to life and death issues. Verses 22 and 23 tell us, "If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me," he said. "I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far." Each of us faces tough times that may cause us to long for the promise of heavenly relief. But as Violet showed us joy, despite her current circumstances, we too can keep running, skipping, praising the Lord, both for the abundant life He gives us here and for the ultimate joy that awaits us. Now you can get Our Daily Bread delivered fresh to your inbox. Sign up for the email devotional when you visit odb.org. That's odb.org. Thanks for listening to Our Daily Bread. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Is this you?
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. All righty, I should probably tell you, if you want to reach the show, davidspoon at kprz.com. The one thing I fail at on a regular basis is telling you that. I don't know what the deal is. You know, the weather, I'm looking at the weather. For those who are hearing this on a replay, if it's at night, the weather is dark. And for those that are hearing this on a replay on the weekend, if the weather is not what the weather is right now, then the weather is exactly what the weather is as you're listening. That's what the weather report is. All right. Don't forget hisappointment.com. That is a place where you can get a book that I wrote. It's not that it's poorly written. It's just poorly written. That's the big difference. But it's only, you know, so many bucks. You get the electronic copy. I think it's like $5 or something. And it's for people that have gone through, you know, monstrous moments. And they look to God and they go, what? I think I have done that so many times that that was part of the reason I wrote the book, was just to kind of get it out of me. So you don't want to look at it on paper. All righty, let's get to our next DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. What do you have for me, my good friend Tugboat Todd?
Be very, very quiet. Be very, very quiet. Be very, very quiet.
We're hunting rabbits. Oh, sorry. Classic. Okay, this one's called Quiet. Now, I want to talk about something that doesn't get talked about a lot, or if it does, it, you know, kind of more tighter circles, but I think it's a good thing for radio. It's called Quiet because of this. Genesis chapter 24, verse 45. Before I had finished my silent prayer, Rebecca came with a water jar on her shoulder and went down to the well to get water. This is Abraham's servant. Most likely, Eliezer, that was the servant in 15:2. Most likely, not for sure, kind of a guess, maybe a stretch. But this was the man that Abraham said, I want you to go to my people, and I want you to find of my people, of my country of origin, I want you to find a wife for my son. And I want you to bring that wife here for Isaac. And I want you to take care of it. I want you to make a life commitment to me. He made him make a vow that was a life commitment, that he can only be released from that vow if he found the woman and the woman refused to go. So the servant went, and the servant prayed and asked the Lord for success. And he had success. And the woman turned out to be Rebecca, and Rebecca told her brother Laban, and Laban came and got the servant of Abraham, brought him to the house, and the guy is rehearsing the story before he sits down. He's telling them what happened. But he says this incredible element that I think we need to become better at. I'm really working at it. I've noticed that it's something that has become more apparent to me as I'm getting older in the Lord, and that's this. He said, before I had finished my silent prayer, Rebecca came with a water jar on her shoulder and went down to the well to get water. He was praying, now just listen to what he says, silently. Some translations say he was praying in his heart. Some translations say he was praying in such a way that only God could, it's like an inward communication. And the whole concept here is silent prayer. Because somewhere in the teachings, there is a notion in our mind that, you know, prayer is only prayer if it's loud, out loud, your eyes are closed, you're looking, you're facing downward, you're holding one another's hands, or your hands are pointed up, or whatever it is. And it's like silent prayer is something that is not discussed, because we talk about prayer in these larger, broader, wider terms of verbalization, which is exactly the opposite of what Jesus taught. He said, people are not heard for their many words. And when we look at Hannah in 1 Samuel, we found out that she was praying, and the Bible says that her lips were moving, but there were no words coming out of her mouth. And when Nehemiah was praying, he prayed silently in front of the king, because I promise you, if the cupbearer had interrupted the king without loud prayers, his head would have been chopped off instantly. And so there's Nehemiah praying as the king is talking to him. Here, this servant is praying silently. Hannah is praying, no words coming out of her mouth. Here's where it comes down to. God knows what's in our hearts, right? He knows what's in our hearts. And you can cry out to God in your heart. There's about 40 passages that talk about that. What we don't know is this, and that's why I want to bring this up. We have to learn this art of the silent prayer at the moment that we're engaging in something. Because that's what Hannah did that, but that's specifically what Nehemiah did. And I have found that to be a fascinating part of my Christian walk. While somebody is sharing with me, I want to listen to everything they say. And it's easy to be listening to somebody but not be present. Have you ever noticed that somebody can talk to you and you sit there and you nod your head, but your brain is like, okay, well, then I got to go over to this room and do this and do this. Okay, number one, that's called not being present, and that's wrong. And one of the ways that you and I can help to be present is to pray right then and there when somebody's sharing, Lord, help me to understand what they're saying. Lord, let me get what's going on. Lord, give me the insight and the wisdom. And there's not only is there nothing wrong with that, I think it's something that you have to, when you say practice it, I just think you have to do it over and over again until it becomes easier to do. So one of the things that I'm trying to do is when people talk to me, I ask the Lord to help me to get it. So that I'm not so distracted and looking in 20 different directions or planning my next six moves. You know, when you have a conversation with somebody, you know what it's not? It's not chess. In chess, you're supposed to anticipate the moves of the next four or five moves ahead of your opponent. That's a game of skill and a game of insight and a game of knowledge. That's fantastic. But that's not listening. Listening is not allowing all of your external things to invade while somebody's communicating to you. To be present is important, and let me explain to you how you know this is true. Because if you go to pray to God and he's not present, wouldn't that be the bummer of all? Lord, I want to tell you about my problems. Well, go ahead, Dave. I'm just going to take care of these things over here, these 16 million prayers over here. I'm really paying attention to you, but not really because I'm really busy on this other stuff. That's what we do when we don't give attention to it. So I think there's this way to commune with the Lord when somebody is engaging with us that we ask the Lord to help us to get what's going on, to be responsive and to respond the way he wants us to. And I think you're allowed to do that. And should do that. And if you already do that, then I'm just encouraging you to keep on doing that. But if you've never done it, I want you to pray about the art of silent prayer at the moment. One of the things that I do, and I tell people I do this, is when they say, would you pray about this situation for me? As soon as I walk away from them, the moment I walk away from them, I immediately pray about the situation because the odds are I'll never remember it 2 hours from them. But if I pray about it right there. So it's learning to pray like at the moment, even if it's quiet prayer, and quiet prayer is fine. Many a person has had fantastic prayers answered just by crying out in their heart to God. And I still maintain and will always maintain the greatest prayer you can ever pray is this. God, help. This is the best prayer ever. It's four letters. Help. Because he knows what it is. You're just asking for his help. So I'm encouraging us to learn praying at the moment silently before the Lord and being more usable as a vessel of his grace and his mercy to others. Okay? Give it a shot. Silent prayer. It works. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. We're going to take a short break, then we're going to come back with our special guest. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Are you sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? Are you sure that your sins have been forgiven?
Billy Graham.
You say, well, Billy, I'm not sure I'm a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned. Do you know what sin is? It's a breaking of the Ten Commandments. If you've ever told one lie, then the Bible says you've broken all of them. And we're all guilty before God. And we're facing judgment and we're facing hell.
Thankfully, there's hope. If you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, his death on the cross takes away the penalty for your sins.
There's the promise of a new life, forgiveness of sins, a chance to start over. He said, be born again. You can be born again spiritually and start life all over as though you'd never committed a sin if you come to Christ.
Are you ready to start over with Christ? We'll tell you how at findpeacewithgod.net from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
There are those who have died for their faith so that we may have faith today. This is Jim Garlow. One of the earliest to die for his faith was Ignatius, the bishop at Antioch. Antioch is the place in Acts that the disciples were first called Christians. In prison, he wrote seven letters, six addressed to churches, encouraging them to be faithful in spite of potential persecution, urging them to stand firm like an anvil under the hammer. He said, "I would rather die for Christ than rule the whole earth. Leave me to the beast that I may by them be a partaker of God. Welcome nails and cross, broken bones, bruised body. Welcome all diabolic torture, if I may but obtain the Lord Jesus Christ." Ignatius was not disappointed for long. He endured both torture and death. Perhaps the question should be, for what or whom would you be willing to die? This is Jim Garlow.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Now, my next guest, well, he doesn't really need an introduction because he's a legend. He's been around, let's see, KPRZ has been around for 200 years. Marty for about 240. That's what I'm going with. What do you think, Marty? That's not bad. Ladies and gentlemen, it's our very own Marty Schneider, 800-727-PLAN, 800-727-7526. What's that song? We're going to play that song? Go ahead, play it.
There would there be one long staircase just going
down. Marty has to love it. Come on. Don't forget theretirementprofessor.com. That's his website. How are you, Marty?
Hey, David. I'm great. By the way, my mom used to love that song, If I Were a Rich Man, from Fiddler on the Roof, right?
That is correct, sir. That is correct. We've decided that's a good theme song.
That's a good one. I love that song. Yeah, I can see Zero Mostel dancing around the stage.
Do you remember that? Remember when he was snapping his fingers in the movie? Dun, 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 dun. Oh, that's so good. My mom loved that, too.
Good stuff.
Talk to me, Marty, because I turn on the TV, right? If my TV wasn't a 3D TV that we have a 3D movie collection for, I would throw things at it. But because it's the only thing I have that has a very real value in my life of that's of physical nature, I decide not to do that. What is going on in the realm of finances? What is going on in the realm of politics affecting finances? And what do people need to know?
Yeah, gosh, David, you know, I was thinking about this in anticipation of our conversation. It's like so much swirling around, you know, the politics and the Comey situation and, you know, the North Korea issue and the Fed and raising interest rates and Trump and Russia. And, I mean, it's just a never-ending hodgepodge of distraction, you know, and it's overwhelming for people. What's the impact? You know, I was talking earlier in the day about the fact that by fundamental standards of, you know, stock market performance, this thing ought to be in the tubes because it's resisting normal trends, historical trends, in terms of how the market generally behaves during the kind of distractions we're dealing with right now. So, from my perspective, David, it brings me back to the fundamentals, if you will, of, you know, the blocking and the tackling, controlling the things in our own lives, both spiritually and financially that we can control. For example, you know, we've talked about this many times, but, you know, eliminating debt so we're not vulnerable to or as vulnerable to economic changes. I get asked about the stock market all the time. You know, my opinion is that we're ripe for a correction because I think we're overvalued, and yet it kind of seems to hang in there, defying a lot of logic to me right now.
Is it possible? I mean, this is going to be the most bizarre question I think I've ever asked you. Okay, so, and that's a lot of them, Marty, so you better get ready. Is it possible that everything that we've operated in from an economic point of view and from a stock market point of view is no longer the base by which we need to be evaluating things?
Oh, boy, what a great question. You know, it is, David. It is, in my opinion, it is absolutely possible. And the reason I say that is because if you look at the behavior of this market, say, since 2008 and 2009 when we had the meltdown, so since that time, you know, we've had the government of printing of money. We've bailed out, you know, Lehman Brothers in a government intervention that had never been done before. Quantitative easing went on for 4 or 5 years. That just means printing money. The Fed, you know, we were at an almost zero interest rate policy by the Fed. Now they're starting to slowly ramp that up. But, you know, all of those things are unprecedented. And now we have the largest, you know, deficit we've ever had. It should be inflationary, and yet we haven't experienced inflation yet. So it defies all prior economic fundamental standards. And so it does make you question whether the old fundamentals are still operational now. And if not, what do the new fundamentals look like? And how do we behave under the new, you know, the new fundamental environment that we're in? It's very challenging, David, for sure.
How do you then, as a planner for retirement, how do you navigate that? I mean, look, somebody like myself is never going to navigate that. Look at the headlines and go, what's the number to Domino's? I mean, it's way beyond the scope. But how does somebody like you that really understands it and intrinsically is involved in each decision, how do you then prepare to face that when, I mean, that's, I guess, the big mystery then, isn't it?
It is, and it always starts with the goal setting. You know, we're sitting down with somebody and saying, "All right, you know, where are we heading here? Where would we like to go? You know, how much time do we have to get there? What risks are we willing and unwilling to take?" But you know what, David? Ultimately, it does come back to, you know, it's kind of the fundamental underlying principles of, you know, accumulating and you know, saving X number of dollars in retirement plans and eliminating debt as rapidly as we can. Those fundamentals don't ever change. And, you know, the issues of how the stock market's going to behave and those kinds of things may change over time, and nobody really knows for sure. But we can put some balance in here between saying, all right, here's, you know, we've got, for every $100, we want to make sure we, you know, we secure 90 of those dollars, and we're willing to take 10 of those and put it in, you know, a long-term kind of a stock market play. But so you create this balance between the protected, you know, safe money and the money that's at risk, and make sure people are comfortable and understand, you know, what they're comfortable with. And some people just don't want to take any risk in terms of losing principal. And so that, you know, when you have those discussions with people, you really hear their heart, their goal, and most significantly, David, you know, what the time horizon is. You know, how much time do we have to get you from point A to point B? And then you begin to integrate pensions and Social Security and other, you know, assets like that. And so, you know, at the end of the day, you do come up with a blueprint, and then you have to track it and monitor it along the way to make sure that, you know, we're keeping on track with what the goal was originally. So it's a process for sure.
Can you do a retirement plan, Marty, and not use the stock market?
Absolutely.
How do you do that? Is it just different instruments like we're talking about? I mean, is it annuity driven? Is it just interest driven? How does that work?
Yeah, it could be, for example, a lot of people like the annuities because they're safe and protected and there's no risk of, you know, losing the money. There's, you know, other kinds of investments that are more non-traditional. There may be some, you know, like REITs, real estate investment trusts. There's the precious metals, you know, gold and silver kinds of assets. But, you know, David, at the end of the day, when it comes to retirement planning in particular, you know, for most people, the biggest question is, where is the income going to come from when I stop working? You know, where's the monthly cash flow going to come from? And so pensions and annuity type plans do a really good job of answering that question because they're safe, they're secure, and you know exactly what they're going to pay you every month for the rest of your life. So that can often be part of the planning process for sure.
Yeah. See, to me, it seems like the high level risk elements. I mean, I would assume. Well, I really shouldn't say this, but people that are trying to save and have that sense of security, they're not going to touch anything that's even remotely risky at this point. And it seems like to me the level of high level risks increases because of the instability of what maybe even was considered more stable prior now appears to be unstable.
Yeah, that's so true. And yet for many people, their largest savings, David, is going to be inside, you know, a corporate, employment plan, like a 401k type of plan. And they may have no choice. I mean, they may have to, because if their 401k plan has, you know, four or five or six different options, all of them may be somehow connected to stocks or bonds where there's going to be some element of risk. So our job there would be to kind of review those 401ks and help people select the least volatile type of account that's in there, but you can't really eliminate the risk because you don't have control over that 401k in terms of what your choices are.
Wow, that's some heavy-duty stuff, Marty.
Sure enough. You know what, David, and it is. Because it's so significant to people, and what I really want to be able to do, David, is dig down and find out what their real risk tolerance is, because when I really examine this, you know, people are really brave about this until they get their quarterly 401k statement that shows they've lost, you know, 14%. Then that's sort of where the rubber meets the road for the risk tolerance thing. And obviously, as people get closer to retirement, they just necessarily get more protective of what they've accumulated. So we become more risk averse as we age and don't want to lose what we've accumulated all those years.
Yeah, see, and that's what I need people to do. I need people to get in touch with you because I think when people hear us sometimes talk, they're thinking, oh, they're talking about people that have millions and millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. No, we're not. Nope. We're not talking about it. We're talking about you that's got a very, you know, you might not even have a nest egg, or you might have a very small amount, and that's why you want to talk with somebody like Marty so that he can help you take that and utilize it the best way possible as opposed to going to Las Vegas and putting it on 21 on a roulette wheel, which is probably not a good idea, right, Marty?
Not a good idea. No, the house is going to win that bet, I'm afraid.
Yeah, that's the fact. Ladies and gentlemen, get in touch with Marty. You contact him by calling 1-800-727-PLAN, 1-800-727-7526, or go to his website, theretirementprofessor.com. Thank you, sir, for taking the time. You are a fantastic guest.
Thank you, David. It's always a true pleasure. I enjoy it, and have a great week. I'll talk to you in a couple of Tuesdays.
You got it. Have a great time next week. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
It truly is another sky.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Hey, KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted KPRZ partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Millions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Yeah, it's a good show. Enjoyed it? You know, it's cool when you get to get on the radio and share with one another and talk about different things. Tomorrow, but that was really good with Marty. He had some really good insight. Tomorrow, we're going to have Steve Wheeler hanging out. We'll also have, I believe, we'll have Russell Shubin. We did find out today for sure, for those that care, I think it is important, actually. Dr. Meg Meeker is going to be back on the show. Now, she did that big, big number one book. And we had her on the show there, and she's got another book coming out. And so we're pretty excited to see what's going on with that. And it's kind of a cool, you know, kind of a cool system that Salem is working out, where they got some of these authors who are well-known authors, but they're taking some of their material and getting a little bit more into some Christian mentalities on it. And so Salem is featuring them throughout some of their stations, and that's just a real blessing for us. I just think that's cool. So she's going to be on next week, and we got a couple other people and some exciting things that I can't tell you about because I'm not allowed yet. Soon. Not yet. We are going to close today by doing the Facebook post, and it is not a light one. Typically, I try to do a Facebook post that's just encouraging in and of itself. Today's Facebook post, I hope, is encouraging for you. However, it is not light. And it actually has a title, which is, you know, we titling a Facebook post interesting. The Christian Connecting Point to the Enemy. The Christian Connecting Point to the Enemy. So a lot of people will think, well, you know, I'm a Christian. And because I'm a Christian, I don't have to worry about Satan. Well, you know, if you've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Get where I'm going with that? All the way through, you know that as a Christian, while you are blessed to have the greatest friend ever, you also have an enemy that despises you at every possible level and desires nothing but to have you not just sidelined, but defeated. And Jesus said something interesting in John chapter 14 about the enemy and about how the enemy makes connections. He said this in John 14:30, I will not talk with you much longer because the ruler of the world is coming. He has no power over me, which in the Greek literally translates, he has nothing inside of me. So I want you to understand that. And there's about 70% of the translations use that literal translation. He has nothing inside of me, or he has nothing in me. The ruler of the world, as you might well know, is Satan that Jesus is referring to, who captured the world from Adam and Eve when? Let's just answer that question. When did Satan capture the world and the authority of the world from Adam and Eve? Was it when they first went into the garden? No. Was it when Adam named the animals? No. Was it when Eve was born? No. It was when Adam and Eve sinned that Satan captured the authority in the world. So, not having to be brilliant theologians, what can we deduce from that? Sin gives Satan access. Period. You think, well, does that mean that I'm not going to be saved? No, that's not what it says. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is sin gives him access. He can't take your salvation from you that God gave you. If Satan can stop prayers, he'd stop the sinner's prayer before it ever got prayed. So just stop that. But what he can do is access through the one open door that we might create in our lives if we're living in disobedience, called sin. As God requires his modus operandi to function through faith, Satan's modus operandi is through sin. And so the ruler of the world was coming, and Jesus goes, he's got nothing in me. There's nothing that he could touch to, nothing that he could attach to that's inside of me, because Jesus was sinless. So he has no access point. What are you talking about, possession, Dave? No, I'm talking about access. When the enemy comes in because we're operating in sin and makes it even worse because we're being dumb. So here's the simple question. It's not that hard to figure out. Just do a self-examination. I can't answer this for you. No person, no pastor, no minister, no teacher, no person, not even a spouse can answer this question for you. Not siblings, not children, nothing. Parents, nothing. You have to answer this between you and the Lord. Does the enemy have any access point in you? That's it. Is there unspoken deception, unspoken pride, unspoken arrogance? Is there, you know, lustfulness? Is there a desire to medicate and escape? Are there things that you go through that you know are wrong, but you won't even challenge yourself in? Those are access points. Does that mean that if you struggle with sin, you're doomed to hell? No. It means that if you've got some openings, you need to come before the Lord and say, help me to close that bad boy. I don't want to have a welcome here sign. Welcome here. Come on. You want to post the no vacancy sign, not the vacancy sign. No vacancy. And believe me, the enemy doesn't care how you feel about this. There's no, I feel so sad for them. No. This is a war that's going on between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, and you're just a pawn in that greater war. But believe me, if you can be used, you'll be used. Because you know what they do in chess? They use the pawns to get the strategy done. That's how it goes. So instead of being usable in whatever capacity, we got to close it. Got to close that opening. You going to close every one of them right this second? Probably not. You know what you can do? The one thing that's really kind of trying you, pushing you down, that besetting sin, you can start there. Say, God, help me to start closing that door more. Even if you don't close it all the way, if you close it more, then there's less access. That's none of that's hard. Every day I'm praying to close that door. Every day between now and the trumpet, personal or corporate trumpet, I'm going to be praying the same thing. I don't like giving the enemy space. He takes advantage. I like it to be between me and the Lord, nobody else. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.